Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff. And it's officially spooky season.
Yay! We become fully ourselves. Yes.
That's right. Our final form only from October 1st to 31st. And then we go back to normal.
Then we go back to just being average girls.
Oh, so sad.
So sad.
I'm really excited. We mentioned it last week, but so every week we're going to cover a different kind of bigger topic that feels associated with spooky stuff or Halloween. And we're just also going to talk about, you know, our Halloween plans and stuff like that because, you know, we're best friends and that's what we talk about.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say I have a couple recommendations. Do we want to start? I guess we can start with those,
go
right?
For it. Yeah.
Okay. So I just told Felicia, but I did see Don't Worry, Darling, the new Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, directed by Olivia Wilde movie.
The most dramatic press tour in American history. Yeah.
I know. Have you been following all the tea?
A little, yeah.
It's so ridiculous and amazing. And also, like, I don't know, I had a thought the other day where I was just like, they really are going to have better ticket sales because of all of this.
I was going to say, my biggest fear, is the tea better than the movie?
I think yes.
No!
But that depends on what you're looking for. Like, if you're looking for, like, Oscar award winning great movie, like, it is not that. If you're looking
I don't think I'm looking for that.
Yeah. I mean, there are some good performances. I will say, again, I don't want to like ruin this for you, but I just wish it was a different director. That's all I'll say. I feel like she did not do a great job, and based on some of the gossip, it feels like she was maybe not super focused.
She was a little distracted.
Yes. And it kind of feels like
someone.
Yeah, that's what I like. I feel bad for Harry Styles, honestly, because I also don't know, like, I feel like he was hurt by not having a director that would push him. Like, I don't think
especially
he's
as someone
terrible.
That's not an actor first, you know.
Exactly. Like, he feels like he's pretty one note. And I'm like, I just think it was probably because she was like, you're doing great, baby.
Oh, no. God, that's sad.
I'm
very excited to see it still, like, in my head, because I saw a trailer. I don't know a ton, but my brain just says like a darker Stepford Wives situation, but with like a different outcome maybe. But
That's pretty close. I mean, I won't say anything too much. I guess my other kind of thing is that it like I don't feel like it had any new ideas. I guess the Stepford Wives thing is pretty much, you know, what it is.
What's
like
going
there,
on.
There's it's like. I do think Florence Pugh is amazing. I think there are other really good performances too. Like I thought Chris Pine did great. It's kind of interesting because it's like 98% Florence Pugh.
Like wow.
Like Nick
Which is
Kroll
probably
is
what
in,
I would want anyway, but
that's 100%.
A lot of Florence.
Yeah. It's a lot. I think I was expecting it to be kind of more of an ensemble movie. Like there are big stars in it, you know. Like But even Chris Pine is a pretty small role when all is said and done. So
interesting.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see what you think. And maybe I was too jaded going in, but I don't know.
Well, I'm excited to see it still. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fun thinking about it in the context of like, oh, wow, this could have been Shia LaBeouf. Like all of that stuff.
Oh, man. You saying that, I'm like, I already wish that was true.
I know.
I know he's got his own drama, but. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also just him and Florence Pugh in a movie together, I'd be like, that would be some sick acting.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I know. Or some other third person that just would be a better actor.
Yeah, I hear you. But
anyway, I also wanted to say very briefly, because it kind of feels like when you watch The Office, I finally, after much begging and pleading, got James to start Game of Thrones for the first time.
Oh, he's never seen it? That feels like
never
something he'd be
it.
So into. That feels shocking.
I don't know what to say about it. I truly, when he first told me, I was like, that might be a deal breaker. I'm just kidding. But we finally started it, so it's been so fun to watch it again. He's teasing me because I always fall asleep when we watch stuff. Have not fallen asleep once.
Oh, good for you.
I know. Like a show that I've seen. Like, I don't know what it is. I saw
this meme that really makes me laugh, where it's like a girl holding a pillow next to her between her and her boyfriend so she could go to sleep without him noticing, which is just very me.
That's like, I'm watching. Yes, I always get mad too. He's like, "You're falling asleep." I'm like, "No, I'm not."
Yeah, how dare you?
Just my eyes were closed for a second.
I'm not to sleep through this. Why am I? Why am I not?
I know, I know. It's so hard. But anyway, so I will keep you all posted if there's any fun stuff from that without Game of Thrones spoilers, I guess, still. I mean, people could still want to watch it, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, I've seen most of it, but I didn't really watch it like how everybody else watched it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but
you watched it casually.
I watched it very casually. Yeah, for me, I haven't really been watching a ton of stuff, honestly. So I'll just recommend what we did in Horror Movie Club last week on my YouTube channel, which was this 90s very not well-known film called Mirror Mirror.
Oh.
Which is, it really feels like a TV movie. It's very, like, low budget. But
is there Snow White that's called that too? Like a Snow White retelling?
Yes, there is, with Julia Roberts, I think. Yeah, it is not. It is not that one.
I thought the entire time I saw your posts for Horror Movie Club, that's what you were doing.
That would be hilarious. No,
I was
so
like,
this
she's really strayed.
Yeah, she's really strayed from the spooky stuff, huh? No, so we're doing in Horror Movie Club, we're doing movies directed by women this month. And this was directed by a woman named Marina Sargenti, who hasn't really done a ton of other things, to be perfectly fair. But it's honestly like kind of a cool movie. Like, I feel like if I had seen this in the 90s, I would have been like obsessed with it. But it is very, very low budget. But it's basically this girl that she moves into a house with her mom, and there's this mirror that's been left there that has basically like a mirror demon inside of it. But the girl, the teenager in it, is this girl named Rainbow Harvest. That's true. That's just her name.
What?
In real life.
Rainbow Harvest.
And she is just like this goth queen in this movie. Like the most goth, like 90s dark wave, whatever. Like it's just freaking great.
I love.
And then someone else that's in it is Yvonne DiCarlo, who is the original Lily Munster for the Munsters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and,
so cool.
Oh, and then also it has these names might not mean anything to some people, but Karen Black, who's an actress that's been in a lot of like she's Mother Firefly in House of Thousand Corpses. Also did a lot of like more like exploitation-y style things back in like the 80s. But it's a cool movie. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was cool. Like, clearly they had no money, but I thought it was pretty awesome. Yeah. So that's my recommendation for the week. I don't know. You can watch it on Tubi for free. There's a bunch of sequels that everybody said was really bad. but yeah, it was a cool movie. Oh, actually, so something I did mention that I will tell you as well is the Mirror Mirror 2 and 3 both star Mark Ruffalo in his first film debut.
What?
Mirror Mirror 2, Raven Dance.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah. And they're so bad. I feel bad for
them. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen them, but apparently they're very, very, very bad.
Like American Psycho 2.
No. Oh, my God. So bad. That's actually what we're talking about this week is American Psycho. But dang, American Psycho 2. So sad.
That was pretty bad.
That was bad.
Amazing. Well, the other thing we wanted to talk about, just to get everybody in the spooky mood, we were going to talk a little bit about our Halloween costume planning. As you know, we always start early, but
oh yeah,
I don't – have you started thinking? Do you know what you're doing yet?
Yeah. So, okay, I know one. Like, I haven't figured out what, like, my thing is going to – like, my –
costume.
I'm trying to be so dramatic, but
yeah. Yeah.
Like I always like to do one that feels really for me.
Yeah.
So I am doing a couple's costume with Travis and we're doing Sonya and Kano from Mortal Kombat. Nice. Which is really for Travis because he loves Mortal Kombat so, so much. So I'm happy to do it. I love a crop top. I'm going to look great, I'm sure. But
you are going to look great.
Thank you. But I haven't really figured out what I want to do for like my spooky costume. Like, I don't know if I want to do a cosplay from a movie or if I want to like create a character. I'm not sure what I'm going to do that this year. But what about you?
I always love a Felicia creation. I still think about the bleeding eye angel that you did that one year.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good one. That was really
good. It was so fun. But I think we're – so we also are like thinking about – like, I don't know what our real one will be or what my real one will be. But we are doing Chrissy and Eddie from Stranger Things, which I'm sure everyone else will too.
Oh, but sure. Yeah, but it'll be
fun. Just felt so good. I was like, it looks like the both of us, like I literally got a bang piece that matches my hair perfectly. So I'm it will be great. He'll get the wig. It'll all be good. But the funniest thing.
We probably will see quite a few of those this year.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, my gosh.
Or just a lot of Eddies, really. Just the Eddies.
I know. I could not believe Spirit Halloween has Chrissy's costume. Like, I just bought
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. I know. I was like, she really made an impression in her two episodes or whatever that was.
Are you going to do her like dead?
I don't think so, but maybe I should.
I mean, that's what I would want you to do, but I understand that's not like the hot version, I guess.
No, I mean, I kind of like it too. People won't be doing that. I feel like I would need really intense contacts of some kind.
Oh, that's true. You would need the contacts. Eech, I don't know. That might be a lot.
I know. It
like,
always
ends. Around in all night.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see what like – what we want to – because that's the hardest part. I'm sure you're this way too, but it's like you want to make sure the costume fits the event as well. And or like whatever you end up doing.
Appropriately.
Yeah.
And have fun. Totally.
Oh, yeah, that's why I loved all those superhero costumes because I was like, I'm so flexible. I can move.
Yes. Oh my gosh, amazing.
But
so
then
– less work.
Oh, thank you. But then we are trying to convince Willow because it's – Hocus Pocus 2 is coming out.
Of course.
We're trying to convince her to do, like, to have her be Bette Midler, me be Sarah Jessica Parker, and James be Kathy Najimy.
Okay.
Because I think it would be
so genius.
Funny.
That's hilarious. I support that. If Willow doesn't do it, then I mean, then your dog's going to have to do it. That's just what we'll have to do.
I was like, I just think that is the funniest thing in the world, especially because she'll be so small that I'm like, you have to be Bette Midler.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious.
That's too
And then good. we were joking about dressing up Rufus as Binks to put a cat costume.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Rufus. I like that, actually. Yeah.
So anyway, we'll keep you posted if we do convince her, but we still have to think about, I want to do something else that's like more elaborate or
more Halloween-y.
Not just,
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's how
if
I
you
feel
have any
too.
Ideas.
I'm not sure yet. Yeah,
I know.
One thing I did think about because people mentioned, I know you've done Lydia before, but the cartoon version of Lydia.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about that because people were saying the girl in Mirror Mirror looks like the cartoon Lydia. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, like the cartoon version. But I don't know.
I like it. I always like a new take.
A lot of thinking to do.
I've always thought, and I think, I don't know if he would do it with you, but I do think like you guys as Beetlejuice and Lydia is pretty good too.
Oh yeah, Travis would be amazing Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes. And he would have fun.
We'll see how many events we have planned. How many costumes
we need.
Yeah,
that too. I know. Well, I think I'm going to jump in. Are we ready?
I'm so excited.
So this week I am doing the history of the Grim Reaper. So I'm very excited because I will say like I, you know, obviously an icon, obviously in a lot of pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
I really had no idea what the origins were or how he came to be. So I was really excited to research that this week. But in case you don't know, the Grim Reaper is usually a skeleton-like figure, often shrouded in a dark hooded robe and carries a – do you know how to say this? This is so embarrassing.
Scythe. I only know that from Buffy.
Oh my gosh. That's – I should have known too. Okay.
That's okay. Go ahead.
A scythe to reap human souls. So he's a figure that appears normally at the moment of death to take you away with him. I'm going to kind of go a little bit broader. So many cultures have this, you know, Grim Reaper kind of figure, but there's also, you know, thinking about him as like the idea of like a personification of death, or thinking about like, you know, gods and goddesses and all of that. So I do think this is interesting that in English and German culture, death is typically portrayed as male, but in French, Spanish, and Italian culture, it is not uncommon for death to be female.
Oh,
so I know. So I'm going to talk about a couple different versions, but there is, so Thanatos, who is the Greek god of death, is probably one of the, you know, earliest ones we know. And that literally translates to death.
Is that where Thanos comes from? Sorry.
I think so. No, I had that exact same thought where I was like, that feels too close.
That feels really close. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think must. But he's sometimes depicted as a beautiful winged man, kind of like, you know, I don't know, like Hermes, I guess, sort of, or like more angel-like, and occasionally is cloaked in black and carrying a sword. And then kind of as time went on, later depictions, he looks more like Cupid, kind of like this little winged boy, which I also think is interesting. But in those versions, he carries an upside-down torch, which represents a life that has been extinguished, which I like.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Yeah. And then I did want to cover a female representation before we get into kind of like closer to Grim Reaper types. So there is Our Lady of the Holy Death, or now you can help me, right? You know Spanish. Santa Muerte. How do you say that? Do you know?
Santa Muerte. Death.
Muerte. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So she's a female deity or folk saint of Mexican religion. And she's definitely gotten more popular in recent years, which I love. And as we were kind of talking about with last week's episode, you know, Mexican culture has a certain reverence towards death.
Yes.
So right. With Day of the Dead and all of that. So she is associated with healing and protection and safe delivery to the afterlife. So she normally appears as a skeletal female figure with a long robe and holding a scythe and a globe. And her robe can be any color. And images of her kind of vary follower to follower and relating to, you know, whatever you're praying for or whatever the rite being performed is. But what I think is really cool about Our Lady of the Holy Death is she has a cult that began in Mexico sometime in the mid 20th century, but it was secret until the 1990s. So it feels kind of like, I don't know.
Can we join? Like, yeah. What's going
on? That's why I'm like, it feels almost like, you know, alternative or like any kind of like cool culture that was like under wraps for a long time and now is, you know, grown in popularity and cool factor and all of that. But I will say that I think overall it was interesting to look at all these different, you know, versions of death where it's like if they're male, they do seem to be more on the scary side. And if they're female, they do seem to have more of the like healing and protection and all of that side of things. So I like, you know, I liked that side too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But more close to kind of this Grim Reaper idea or the idea of these like, you know, figures that escort a soul from the world of the living to the land of the dead. This idea goes back to like all the way to cave drawings in North America that had, you know, like cave drawings, exactly what I said, were, you know, otherworldly beings that would accompany souls into the afterlife. And so of this kind of idea, I'm going to start with the Greek version again. So there is Charon, who is a hooded figure who ferries the recently deceased over the river Styx on the way to the underworld, which I feel like I've like read about before.
Yeah, we've heard about that before.
But I forgot he's even like very briefly, of course, Hercules is one of my favorite Disney movies. And he's even very briefly, there's like a scene of him like rowing when Hades comes to the underworld. So that's supposed to be Charon, which I think is cool.
Nice.
There's also a Korean myth There is the Yosong Saya, which is a netherworld emissary who's depicted, I think this is really cool, depicted as a bureaucrat who is kind of intense and trying to reach like a quota of souls that he has to get for the day.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I'm like, that I think is such a
like a tax collector. Version.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Just like trying to get his numbers.
Yeah. Crazy.
And then people also try to relate the Grim Reaper back to Azrael, who is the angel of death in the Bible. But there aren't really physical descriptions of what he looks like in the Bible. There's no like skulls or scythes or anything like that. And the angel of death's job is to try to kill people. But we don't know, you know, the Grim Reaper is not associated with killing people himself necessarily.
Right.
More just like showing up when people die. But it also could be related to the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. So death is the fourth and final horseman, and he's also the only one that's actually named in the Bible. But again, there's not really a physical description of him. So, you know, maybe more just like in ideas of how he started, but maybe not in like what he looks like.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty fascinating to me that it's just, it feels a creature associated with death that feels that it doesn't have much to do with the devil or with Catholicism is interesting, because it feels like most of those things do, like they go hand in hand somehow, but not really the Grim Reaper. It's interesting.
Yeah. He somehow is not part of all of that or the Bible. Yeah. But there is a case to be made that he's related to this folklore in Europe. So in the Netherlands, or I guess I'll more get into the Europe side of things in a little bit. But in the Netherlands, they had the Mager Hein Beenderman, which translates to bone man. And he's very similar to the Grim Reaper in how he looks. A very skeletal figure would appear at times of death and disease. But the one that I thought was closest is there is a figure named Anku, who is from Celtic folklore. He appears just like the Grim Reaper as a man or a skeleton, wears a cloak, and sometimes carries a scythe. And in some stories, he also appears as just a shadow, or he can appear on a shadow on this cart kind of collecting the dead. So he always wears a black robe with a large hat, which conceals his face. And he's one of death's henchmen, which I also feel like is just something that I've always thought about the Grim Reaper, that he's kind of like, you know, going out for death or like his like sidekick, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just like his job. So Anku's job ranges from protecting graveyards to even going out and collecting souls. And I like this too. According to a later Christian legend, Anku was the first child of Adam and Eve, but then died or, you know, was very quickly evil. And so I like that depiction as well. But yes, I think Anku is probably like the closest of those sort of, you know, older stories. But our modern idea, or like what we think of the Grim Reaper now, sort of first appeared or made his big appearance in the 14th century. So this was right around the time that Europe was dealing with the Black Death, which is a pandemic that was thought to be a result of the plague. And I didn't really know any of these stats, but it is estimated that about half of Europe's entire population died as a result of this pandemic. It's
really bad. So like, yeah.
It's wild to me. And only over the course of a few years. So I just thought that was wild, especially as, you know, as sad as it is, as we're kind of thinking about our pandemic that we're in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's just – it puts things, I don't know if it puts things into perspective, but it's just kind of crazy to me that that happened then and we're now experiencing something similar.
Our own version of one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
scary.
It's very scary. So globally, it was about 350 million deaths and about 25% of human population on Earth, which is crazy. But
that's basically like all of America being gone, right?
I think. I don't know. I bet
population
we're not.
Of America, 329 million.
Oh, I see. Yes, 350 million deaths. We are close to that.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy. But the original outbreak of the plague was in 1346 to 51, and then outbreaks reoccurred several other times after that. So, you know, people at that time had to deal with, I always think of Monty Python when I think about this.
Yes, like, bring out your dead.
Yes, oh, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Like there were just dead bodies everywhere. It was, smelled like dead bodies. Dead bodies were just like on the streets being loaded into carts and then dumped into clay pits. So to me, it's like no surprise. This is when the Grim Reaper, you know, when they had to kind of create this figure to deal with that process or think about death in that way. And so at that time, you'll see even in like literature and art and all these different things, death and skeletons and disease and mortality were all so much more present than they had been previously. And so, you know, it makes sense to me that this is when they started talking about him. But basically, like why we think he looks this way, obviously all the influence that I spoke about, but also the robe is thought to be related to the robes of religious figures at that time when they were conducting funeral services. And then the scythe was taken from agricultural practices of the time. Harvesters used them to, you know, reap harvest crops. And so it makes sense that it was kind of the same thing for, you know, people that were ready to be plucked from the earth. And so, you know, he and the idea of like him reaping, I think is such a, you know, obviously affected by agriculture and the harvests of that time.
I would have never put that together. That's so interesting.
Right? Cool. Yeah, it's cool to think about him in like a, yeah, like a farmer way almost. Yeah. But anyway, that's pretty much my research. I was going to kind of end it with us talking about if you have any like pop culture references to the Grim Reaper. I was thinking about the Grim Adventures of Bill and Mandy is obviously
amazing.
Star turn for him.
Yes. And then my first ones that come to mind are A Christmas Carol. Or wait.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's like that, like the third ghost of Christmas future is like very Grim Reaper-y.
Definitely.
And then I also think about Harry Potter. Death in Harry Potter is like Grim Reaper-y.
That's a great one. Yeah. The like in the three brothers story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, and Dementors too, I guess.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Dementors, they take
like
your
sucking souls. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more. I mean, also I feel like, oh, you mentioned this before we actually hopped on, but like you also just see it in like a lot of cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Family Guy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like their death's coming to visit you.
Yes.
I feel like that's in a lot of cartoons for sure.
Oh, and like, yeah, and like I feel like comics and newspapers, like the
The
comic strips. I was thinking about too, were you a big Sims player or no?
I mean, I played a little, but not so much.
Not enough. There's anytime a Sim dies and like the probably like Sims 2 on, the Grim Reaper comes. And in like some of the later versions, you can plead with him or like other people can plead with the Grim Reaper to like keep your Sim alive.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I never heard of that.
Yeah. So he's definitely, you know, in our pop culture, but I think it's really interesting to see kind of all the inspirations for how he, you know, became what he is now. And it does feel kind of like Santa Claus to me too, where it's like all these different, like all these different ideas sort of like formed together and gave us what we have today. But I think he's definitely a cool kind of helpful, or maybe not helpful, a cool representation of death and just another way for us to think about things or personify it in some way.
And just with a quick Google search, I was also reminded that a lot of people get the Grim Reaper as like a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Really know why, but
and probably music too.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Don't Fear the Reaper, right?
Yeah. But that was cool. Yeah. Especially like I had never really taken time to think about like what the scythe is and like mm-hmm. thinking about it as a farming tool, like of reaping your harvest and like reaping souls. Like that really was fascinating. That's cool.
Yes. And I love like whichever one that was like reaching his quota. Like I think I've always thought of that too. Like that's have good. To get to your number. So people have to die.
Yeah. They just have to. That's good.
Well, yeah. Thank you all for listening this week. We're going to be back with Felicia. We'll be covering a topic next week. So we already revealed it, right?
I already spoiled it. So it's Baphomet. I'm going to talk about goats as devils and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Amazing.
Maybe we can also do some pop culture discussion in that one.
Yeah, I would love that. Mm. Perfect. All
right. Well, we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares and happy October.
Woo! Bye.